this morning, I don't know. This is one of those services, church, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I've wrestled around. I think I have the Lord. I pray I have the Lord. Let me say it that way. You preachers maybe can appreciate this. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. Am I on back there, Jeremy? Y'all may can appreciate this, and maybe you can't. Sometimes you get a message, and then when you get there, get to church, you think, man, I don't know if it's going to work or not. Well, that's kind of where I'm at. I've got a few good things to say, but I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord. I've tried to find God, and I want to have God, and I want to be transparent. There's a couple of philosophies in the preaching circle. One is never let people see your weaknesses. Always be that leader that everybody has total confidence in. And I can see that to some degree. But I think it's good to just be transparent. Just let people see you for who you are. And the fact of the matter is, preachers have struggles like everybody else does. That's how it is. I don't care if a man comes in, he seems like he's on this high plane and he's above the everything. Can I tell you, he has his struggles just like you do. That's how it is. And I think it helps us to know that we're all in the same boat. Now, we ought to be out front. We ought to be leading. I understand that. But I think just being real and transparent is so important in the Christian life. Well, we're going to look at these Beatitudes again this morning. As I come to this, there's a couple of different thoughts on the Beatitudes, and I understand this has kingdom application. I do not want you to think I'm unaware of that. Some see salvation in the Beatitudes, that it is the Lord is showing the means into His kingdom. For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit, the sinner realizes his need. Blessed are they that mourn. He mourns under godly sorrow and Holy Ghost conviction. Blessed are the meek. He's submissive and yielded to the Lord. And blessed are they, and you go on, you see where I'm coming from. And that's the doorway. The Beatitudes are the doorway into the kingdom. That's one approach to it. The second approach is, I guess there's more than one, but a couple that I know of, that this is a character sketch of what a blessed Christian ought to be. And we start out on the inside and we work our way to the outside, if I can say it that way. And we have preached this, a couple of messages on this. We preached on the blessed are the poor in spirit, and we talked about pride and humility. I don't think you're going anywhere till you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Amen. I think it's a starting point. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Pride, God resisteth the proud. Going to have to lay your pride aside. Not many people will do that. I know that. I think about that, and I'm preaching this to you all, and you all know that's truth, but not many people will lay aside their pride. They just can't or won't, or I don't know. But I know it has to be done. It has to be done. And so we've already preached on that. And then we talked about blessed are they that mourn. that mourn. Sorry when they sin. Hate it when they sin. So upsetting to them when they sin. We talked about Peter. He went out and he didn't just weep, but the Bible says he wept bitterly. He was so broken for failing the Lord. And we have to get there if we're going to be blessed. We have to get there. And then we come to this one, and it's not the burden on my heart. It's not where I'm going to preach this morning. But at verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A lot of words describe the meek. Some say it. Some definitions use the word humble. Some gentle. Some yielded. It's a very difficult word, I guess, in our society to speak of. I think it speaks of emotions under control at times of provocation or temptation. In other words, when you're being provoked, I like to think of David and Shimei. Y'all know the story. David has fled, Absalom's attempting to overthrow David and take over the kingdom, and David and his men are fleeing, and Shimei's running up, throwing rocks at him and cursing him. And one of David's men said, let me go over there and take his head off. David said, nah, just leave him alone. I mean, that to me is a spirit of meekness. He's under attack. He's under stress. He's under duress. And here's a fella, he could easily take care of him. But he says, no, it's not what we all do. Just leave him alone. Maybe God will bless me for that. And there's a lot I could read all these. I've got three definitions. I've got the Noah Webster and the Strong's and Weiss. Weiss had much to say about that thing of meekness. But we know this, we're to put on the spirit of meekness. The Bible teaches that. You ought to be a meek person. You ought to have control over your emotions under provocation or under provokings, however you want to say it. When people are attacking you, you ought to have that spirit of meekness. You wives that have unsaved husbands, you will win them through that spirit of quietness and meekness. That's right. You won't win them fussing, fighting, attacking, and all that sort of thing. If you've got an unsaved husband, you'll win them through that spirit of meekness. You will not win them by submitting to what they want you to do and staying home from church. I had one person tell me this. They were trying to justify the actions of a loved one. They said, well, they're just trying to work with them. And they're just trying to, they don't go to church, so they're going to stay home with them. They're just going to try to go the route they're going. That's not the way you win people as a believer. You don't win them that way. You win them by your godly, chaste conversation, dear wife. That's how you do it. You stay on track with God. And that on track with God, the Holy Spirit uses to speak to their heart. So please, please, please get that down. And meekness is an important thing. And I may come back to that. But my burden this morning, and I don't know how much I will say or what I will say, but my burden this morning is verse number 6. It's just kind of a burden on my heart. The Bible says this in verse number 6. I'm going to read the verse, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you what little I have this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father, in Jesus' name, here I stand, pitiful and insufficient for the task that's before me and unable. Please help me, Father. Lord, I know you can take nothing, make something out of it. I ask you to help us now, do in our hearts and lives what needs doing. Get glory. Open the hearts of the listeners. Speak to that soul that's nearest hell. Don't let them go to hell, Father, but speak to them and deal with them. Father, have your blessed way now. Get glory out of all that's said and done, and I'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I look at these Beatitudes, and I think one thing we can say right off the bat is that God wants His people to be a happy people. Here's what He says, blessed are. The word blessed carries the idea of happiness. Happy. Being truly happy. I think you would agree with me. I think this is right. I think I'm saying it right. That the biggest part of people today do not know what true happiness really is. They think going to a party brings true happiness. Today there's folks on the lake fishing for bass, and they think that brings happiness. They're at the ball. Well, no, they're not at the ball stadiums, but if they could be, they'd be at the ball stadiums, and their attempt would be to find happiness. The world's seeking happiness, and we see from this text that the Lord wants His people to be blessed, to be happy. And I think there's some little truths that we can see as we look at this. You do not see in our text verse where you are to hunger and thirst for happiness. It's not what it says, is it? It doesn't say we should hunger and thirst to be blessed. It doesn't say the great desire. Now, as we come to this beatitude, it's as if now we're beginning, we've been looking on the inside. And it's as if now we're looking on the inside, but we're looking outside to where we might want to be. If I could say it like one writer said, we're beginning to look at God now. We're looking at what we don't have and what we would like to have. We're hungering and thirsty. I can say it that way. And let me say, we're never to hunger and thirst for happiness or blessedness. You will never, I think the order's given to us, you will never be happy until you, if you put happiness or the pursuit of happiness ahead of righteousness. Righteousness always comes first and then happiness. That's how it is. Just some little truths that I want to say to you. When we look at this hunger and thirst after righteousness, I think implied in that is the realization of a spiritual need in our lives. Would you agree with that? I mean, when you get hungry for food, as I thought about this, I'm thinking about appetite, internal appetites, spiritual appetites. And I tried to relate it to the physical. When you realize you're hungry or thirsty, you realize there's something you need down on the inside. And when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, it seems the implication is that you realize you're not what you ought to be. It seems to imply there's a need in your life. And here's where a lot of us are at. We hunger, but we don't seem to have our appetite filled. Isn't that right? We have a desire to do, but we just cannot perform it. And what we're realizing is our lack of what we're wanting. That's where we're all at. in our lives, or should be. Now, when we say hunger and thirst after righteousness, it also implies this, that we can hunger and thirst after other things. You can hunger and thirst after riches, wealth. You can hunger and thirst for lust. You can hunger and thirst for pleasure. You can hunger and thirst for fame or popularity or whatever. And you can think that that's going to make you blessed. That's what the world's doing, is it not? The world thinks this, if we get this, if we have this, if we get to this point, then we're going to be happy and blessed. My, I worked with a girl years ago. I used to tell this story all the time. And she said she would say she was in the office group there, if I could just get me a new house, I'd be happy. She got the new house. If I could just get me a new car, I'd be happy. If I could just get me a pool, this went over maybe 2 years. If I could just get me a pool, I'd be happy. If I could just get this or get that. She was looking for those things to make her happy. And to make the long story short, you know the outcome. She was never happy. And finally, I don't know if out of necessity or not, she sold all she had and went back to living like she was originally, and I still don't know if she is happy. She seemed a little more satisfied, but don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is the things of the world will not make you happy. It won't do it. But we have a pattern in the Word of God of some things that will make us happy. My. And let me just say a few more things about being hungry and thirsty. If you ignore it, it will not be satisfied. It won't be satisfied. It will not, let me say it this way, it will not go away. It won't go away. It can cause suffering. I thought about the prodigal son. He got hungry one day. Here's what he thought he would do. He would join up with a citizen of that country, and that citizen would take care of him. And he even got so low that if he could have, he'd eat the food of the swine. But he wasn't satisfied till he got back to the father's house. His hunger was not fulfilled until he got to the father's house. And he began to eat on that fatted calf. And then his hunger was fulfilled. Now, if there's any of you young people here, and let me just say this, I'm not preaching this way, but if you've not been saved, you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy till you find the Father. Never will. I'm just saying that to you this morning. And so here is a right attitude. Here is an attitude, an internal hunger. I don't guess it's an attitude, an internal hunger, an internal thirst. What are you thirsting for? I begin to think about that. What are we hungry for? What are we thirsty for? What is it on the inside we have an appetite to get, and we think if we get that, everything's going to be rosy, if I can use that word. What is it? Some of you young girls may think, if I get me a good looking husband or wife, you young men, maybe if I get that good paying job and all, what is it you're hungry for? And you think if you get that, I'll be blessed. I'll be happy. You see, here's how it is in the spiritual realm. What you and I in the flesh think will make us happy, in God's eyes, it won't make us happy. Your thinking is flawed because of your flesh. It can't help but be that way. But we've got a Bible to help us see what really does make, what really makes for a happy life. I think that's where we're at. And when we get to that, when we get to that life, then we begin to go on and we become salt and light. And then there's some things that we can learn and do for the Lord, you see. And so we see here, after you humble yourself, you mourn over sin, you yield. If you'll let me use that word loosely for meekness, you yield to Him. In verse number 6, there ought to be, it ought to be a natural yearning inside of every believer. There ought to be a yearning, a desire, a hunger, a thirsting to do right for the glory of God. That ought to be. And let me just stop and say this to you. If it's not, listen to me, something's wrong. I won't say you're unsaved, but I'll say this, something's wrong with your relationship with the Lord. It's a good measuring tool. You can measure yourself and realize if there's no yearning, no desire, no thirst for righteousness, you can realize something sideways, spiritually speaking. Now, the fact of the matter is, a lot of God's people's not yearning. They're not desiring. Deep in their heart, there is no hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why is that? That's what I'm asking myself. I look at people and I preach to you all and to other people from time to time and I say right things and with some of you, some of the things I preach, I know you know they're right, and we just don't ever seem to get where we need to be. And the fact of the matter is, I don't sense an appetite out of some of God's so-called people. I don't sense an appetite for the things of God. They're not hungry for the things of God. You know why people don't come to church? They don't want to. I've quoted my dad. He wasn't a great philosopher to anybody but me. But he said, son, you'll find this out in life. People do what they want to do. Is that not right? Sharon, I just look at you and you may think I know Mike's sick. I'm not talking about sick. I'm talking about not providentially hindered. People as a whole do what they want to do. There will be people hide behind the COVID-19 virus, not come to church, and use that as a straw man when in fact they really just don't want to come. Now there's some people that's leery and scared, and I'm not turning away at that. But I want you to understand, there are folks just don't want to come. And they always have what appears to be a valid reason. But the real reason is this, they just don't want to come. Now I'm talking about God's people. I'm not talking about sinners. Sinners don't want to come. They don't have any desire to come. I'm talking about our church members. People do what they want to do. I'll tell you why people don't live right and do right. They don't want to. There's no hunger or thirst to do right. That's why preachers preach, beat their head against the wall, and goes nowhere. It really takes the Holy Spirit, church, if you're going to do right. You know, church, we're a long ways from where we ought to be, and we'll never make a step in progress unless the Holy Ghost helps us. I'm right there. Here's what some of you head of households would say to me. I know maybe it feels like I'm rambling, but I'm just trying to share my heart with you this morning. Before I get to my little thought, some of you head of households would say, my home's not what it ought to be. It's not going to be unless the Holy Ghost helps you. We have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. But we do have His help if we will tap into it, if I can say that. Well, why is it? I want to just talk to you for a few minutes. I don't know if I'll preach this, get through this message or not. Why is it we do not see a hunger and thirst out of God's people? Why is that? Why is it people don't just hunger and thirst to do right? Just chomping at the bits to do right. The Holy Ghost is on the inside. Well, let me say this. I think part of the problem is a watered down gospel. I say that with all reverence. I think, and I know I preached on this thing not long ago, but it's still burden on my heart. I think we told people all along, all you do is just believe and you're saved. The devil's believed, trembled. Here's what I'm saying. We've left Holy Ghost conviction out of it. We've left God out of this thing we call salvation. I don't want to get bogged down, but John, I like to read this to folks. No man can come to me, this is the Lord talking, except the Father which sent me draw him. Has to be a drawing. And the Bible says, and I will raise him up at the last days. You can't come to the Lord till the Holy Ghost deals with you. Amen. Here's what we said. Just come on. Just come believe and everything's okay. Except you repent, you say, all likewise perish. You have to repent. I don't care. You can deny it 1,000 times. But you have to repent or you perish. You have to submit to His Lordship. And I know that's an odd term to you all, but you can't say this, you saved me, but I'm going to do my thing after that. You're not ready to be saved. Here's what we say, well, the Lord do a work, you just believe. No, you have to come under the authority and submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it is. No other way around it. And here's what we've done. I've got all the scriptures there. I'm not going to go down that way. I'll tell you why a lot of people don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. They've never been saved. I hate to tell you, our churches are full of church members that's never been saved. Now here's why I hate to say it, because when you get saved, the devil tells you you're not saved. And then what I do when I say these things, it gives, the devil can twist the Word of God and use it against you and promote doubt in your life. But can I say you'll never have assurance in your life until you can evaluate what went on at that point of what you call being saved, and you know in your heart you've done what the Bible told you to do. Amen. It's not a feeling, because feelings come and go. You can get saved, and one day you'll feel saved, and the next day you might not feel saved. It's not based on feelings. It's based on whether you obeyed what God said you had to do to be saved. If you did and you come God's way, it doesn't matter how you feel, you're saved. Amen. And then you just rest on the Word. You just rest on the Word. My, that'll give you assurance. Amen. That's where assurance is at. Not your feelings. They're up and down and in and out. But the Word of God stays the same. Well, it's more than just a little head knowledge believe. And I know, I think people had good intentions. I think they still have good intentions. Let me tell you what happened to my children. They went to a Bible school. Probably shouldn't have sent them where I sent them. And Kelly Beth was a little older than Andy. And they said, do any of you kids want to go to heaven when you die? Raise your hand. This is the way Kelly Beth told the story. I hope you told it right, Kelly Beth. And they all, a bunch of them raised their hand. And they said, you go over here in this corner. Now let me ask you this. What little kid's not going to raise his hand about going to heaven when he dies? And he went over in that corner and they prayed with him. They said this, I'll say, that's a joke. That's a joke. I'm not saying some of them couldn't have been saved, but that was manipulation. We went to the little closing. I believe, if I remember right, it's 70-something kids got saved that week in Bible school. Now, can I tell you, that didn't happen. Because it takes conviction and repentance and submission to Christ as Lord in addition to faith. You don't know that. Here's what you say. Here's what I say. I didn't know about it. But I know this. When I came to him, I was at the end of myself. And I just cast myself on him, Brother Allen. Sinner, you don't have to understand. I'm preaching to the church so they can understand. But sinner, you won't understand all that. All you need to know, all you need to do is get lost. And know you're a sinner and know he's a Savior and died on the cross for your sins and arose the third day and seated at the right hand of the Father. And if you'll call on him, he said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That'll work for you, sinner. It worked for me. I'm talking to the church so they can understand this thing a little bit better. I guess My point is this, we do not hunger and thirst after righteousness many times because we've been deceived. Some folks have been deceived. And just because you say you're saved, that doesn't make you saved. Just because you call him Lord, 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 have we not cast out? Have we not cast out devils and prophesied and done many wonderful works in thy name? Then he's going to profess unto them, I never knew you. They called him Lord twice. He says, in one place, why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I say or command? I've forgotten how it reads. Here's what I think. I think there's a lot of folks deceived. Are you afraid to evaluate your salvation experience? I know right now I'm putting fear in some of you that struggle, who are truly saved, and you struggle. I know that. And it bothers me. But I have to preach what God gives me. I have to say to you, and if you examine that enough, here's what will happen. One day God will give you a verse. He'll give you a verse. Brother John Nichols was John 6:37. Was that the verse? He that comes to me, I'll no wise cast out. I was given a verse in 1 John. When I got that, it's just like getting saved all over again. So sweet when assurance comes your way. There's a lot of people that's deceived. There's many sitting on church pews, maybe even today, who have some sort of a hope. They have a false hope based on some sort of emotional experience that they had, but they did not come God's way. Now, I started preaching. That really doesn't line up with preaching on this subject, but that's where God just kept bringing me, Brother Allen. I hope none of us are deceived. I hope I don't bring confusion to your life. I'm not trying to. Here's what I say. If you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, you might ought to consider that possibility. Let me just say it that way. But then I think there's those that don't hunger and thirst after righteousness because they've left their first love. They don't love the Lord like they once did. Some way the devil slipped in and they've fallen in love with the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Demas hath forsaken me because he loved this present world. At one time he's excited about God. Excited. Young folk, can I tell you, the devil wants to redirect your love. He wants to redirect it to the world, away from him. And if you love the world, you cannot love the Father like you ought to. Amen. It's not everybody who doesn't hunger and thirst after righteousness that's lost. Some are just sideways in their love. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul. Matthew 22, strength, however it reads. If you do that, if you love right, you know what? You know what me and Ben love? I mean, the other grandkids go, where you at, Ben? You know what we love, don't you? Ben comes to me and he'll say, Papa, you want to go eat? And what he's saying, you want to take me to the Mexican restaurant and buy my lunch? That's what he's saying. You know why he's saying that? He has a hunger. We can't stay away too long, can we? We go in and they bring our sour cream and my habanero sauce. They know he drinks water and I drink Diet Coke. You know why? We can't stay away because we're hungry for it. We thirst for that Mexican food, don't we, Ben? I hope I'm not embarrassing you. I'm just trying to get my point across to this thing of hunger and thirsting after righteousness. And we hunger for it because we love the taste of it. We love it. No food I love any better. We eat and on the way home, here's what I say to Ben. That couldn't have been no better. Big old smile on my face. Couldn't have been no better. Ben says, that's right. Then sometimes I'll say this, where do you want to eat? I don't care, Papa, wherever you want to go. He has to say that because I'm buying, Brother Allen. I say, well, I was thinking about Mexican. He said, that'd been my pick. You know why? You know why we love it? When you love the Lord, right, you'll have a hunger and a thirst to be where He's at and to partake of Him. I'm afraid we got a love issue, church, and our churches today. I don't know. I'm just preaching what He gave me, but blessed are they. And here's what we think. We're going to be happy if we do this or this or this that the world tells us. And we're going to be happy if we thirst for happiness. But that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says doesn't even make sense to the flesh. The Bible says this, if you want to really be happy, first you got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You mean doing right and being right and living a godly life and doing lining my life up by the Word of God will bring happiness to my life? That's exactly what I'm saying this morning. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. It's not those things or this thing. Oh, they bring temporary. Men being satisfied for a little while, but then we have to go back. And we have to go back. And we have to go back, you see. And we hunger again. But oh, if you'll get hungry for God, my friend, He'll satisfy. He'll satisfy. Brother Jeremy, I may be a little loud. I don't know. You might, if I am, y'all tell him. I feel like I'm a little too loud this morning. Certainly don't want to be. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. We do not hunger and thirst after righteousness because we don't love right. And why should we? Why should we? Can I tell you it's the normal appetite of the true believer? Did you know if you're just a normal believer, it's right with God, He'll hunger to be right. The scriptures I use all the time, peculiar people, zealous. That means having a zeal of good works. You want to do right. It's just in God's people to want to do the right thing. Bring glory to God. You know, we've been abnormal so long that the abnormal's become normal in the church. It's God's plan. I've got seven or eight scriptures I could turn and read to you. Did you know it's His plan to predestinate us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son? Now we know that'll be complete when He comes. And 1 John 3, you know where I'm at. We'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. They'll be complete then. But you know what ought to happen as we go along? We ought to get a little more like the Lord every day. That's right. Why y'all looking at me odd like that? You know that's right. Well, I'll be a little more Christ-like. I'll have a little more humility. Be a little more broken over sin in our life. Have a little greater yieldedness to Him or meekness. My, those things we ought as we go along ought to be more like our Lord. So many times it goes the other way. We ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's just the normal. It's the normal personality. That's not the right word. Normal, but I'm going to use it. The normal personality of a true believer. It's God's plan for your life. How do we know if we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness? I think one way we know is when we realize how short we come up to God's standard. You know what Isaiah said, that our righteousnesses, plural, is as, y'all know, don't you? Filthy rags. Can I tell you, I'm pitiful, but you're pitiful. Oh, I'm a great Christian. You never hunger and thirst after righteousness till you truly realize how pitiful you really are. We're a sad bunch. Now, I know that's insulting. If you've got pride in your life, that's an insult to you. But the fact of the matter is, we're pitiful and we're failures. Amen. Spiritually speaking. Amen. I hate to say that even about myself, but that's where we are. We have to have the Lord. But I want to be right. If you think you've arrived, there'll be no hunger. Do you desire spiritual? I'm going to use a word really we'll never attain to. Do you desire spiritual greatness? There's something in me. I'm just going to tell you. There's something in me. I want to make a mark for my Lord on planet Earth. When I'm gone, I hope I've glorified God with my life. I don't care about a big pile of money. I just don't care. God bless me with that. If nothing else about my personality. He blessed me not to care about the things of this world that much. I don't care. I don't need what some of y'all need. And I'm not saying that bragging. I'm just saying What I do desire is doing something for God. I want to make a mark for Him. I hope when I'm gone there's some kind of a mark, some kind of a scratch on planet Earth I've made for His glory. That's all I care about, really. Do we avoid those things? I'm talking about, how do you know if you're hungry and thirsting after righteousness? If you are, you'll avoid those things that oppose righteousness. Do you know there's a lot of things that's not wrong, but it'll dull your appetite for godly righteousness? Not a bit wrong. Some of you are so caught up in the fires of this world, really, you don't have time for the Lord. It's not being attackful, it's just the truth. We're just too busy. God's people tell me they're too busy if I ask them from time to time to do something. I can't. And I understand, we are. We're caught up. We're in a busy world. And I understand that. And it's not necessarily sin in our life, but it does hinder us spiritually. It does dull our appetite for and our thirst for righteousness. My, I could go on, but here's what I'm asking. Where's our hunger and thirst for righteousness? Where is it? Or is it the church? Do we want to go home? Do you really want to be happy? Then you've got the hunger and thirst for righteousness. But there's a promise for those that do. This is what I love so much. Verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here's what the Bible says. For they shall be filled. He'll bless you. He'll help you to do right. Now, I had in my notes all these truths about how sin ties us down. Romans 6 said, them that's dead are free from sin. If you're a lot of God's people, heathen's not free from sin. Sin puts you in bondage, but the blood of Jesus redeems you from that bondage. That's right. I'm not going there. I'm not going to spend all that time. But I want to close it out like this. These Beatitudes tell us how to be happy, how to be blessed. And that's what every one of you all are looking for. And some of you think one thing and some think another, and some say, if I get this or have this, or if I've got a house full of friends, or if I got all these things. But it doesn't line up with the Bible. The Bible says right here is how you get happy. And it starts on the inside. Starts with humility. Starts with brokenness for sin. Starts with meekness. And it starts with a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. I want to ask you, what's your appetite? I'm not talking about physical appetite like me and Ben, and what we like to eat. I'm talking about your spiritual appetite. Where is it today? Let's bow our heads. I think this is what God had for us this morning. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I just know I want to please Him. I want to do right. How about you? How is it on the inside where nobody can see? How is it? What are you hungry for? While the ushers are coming, you're standing to your feet this morning.